We again come to you with simple studies in the Word of God. We've been dealing these days with a few messages concerning the prophetic program of God concerning the world. We were dealing with what God is going to do with the church, His purpose and plan for the Church of Christ, and then what God is doing and will do for Israel, and what God will do with the nations of the earth. And in our last lessons, we were dealing with the coming of the Lord with respect to Israel. I do not want to go into all that I have said in the past two or three lessons, except to refresh your memory and to bring those who have not been listening in up to the place where we are in our study. We were discussing the fact that Israel is still God's treasure in the earth. They are a chosen people for a particular purpose. And if I were to follow that through, I'd remind you that that purpose was to be the depository for the Word of God. They were to be witnesses to the nations of the earth of the oneness of the living God. And through them, the Messiah was going to come into the human race. And God prophesied both to Abraham and through Moses concerning the future of the history of Israel. For you remember that prophecy is history forewritten before it even comes to pass. And when one thinks of how the Lord came the first time, and every detail of the prophetic page was fulfilled before our Lord cried out, "It is finished." Likewise, our Lord's return for His own, every detail would be completed. Now, we raised the question, is God through with Israel? And we said no. And according to Isaiah and Jeremiah, Israel is as eternal as the new heavens and the new earth which God had made. But Israel rebelled against God. You remember in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, if you read these three great prophets, you find where Israel, no one cared. God wondered there was no intercessor. There was no one to stand in the gap and plead for His land. God wouldn't even listen to the prayers of Jeremiah. Even though Samuel and Moses stood before God, it would make no difference. And so God, the judgment of God fell upon Israel, and they were scattered, blinded, and they became a proverb among the nations of the earth, and their land would be desolate for centuries. And this is true. This has all taken place. And Jerusalem was going to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles was filled full, according to Luke chapter 21, 24. Or if you take Romans 11, 25, where Paul says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You remember that Paul spoke to them three times in the book of Acts, seeing you have judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, and they will hear us. That's in Acts 13, Acts 18, Acts 28. And you remember in Thessalonians chapter 2, 15 and 16, we read that the wrath of God was come upon them to the uttermost. So you have here the question of the condition of Israel down through the centuries. Now we see something about her future. Over 2 million Jews have returned to the land. They have their own kismet, they have their own government. They're no longer, in that sense, under the Gentiles. It's an amazing thing when you think of it, that for 2,500 years, approximately, they've been under the authority of Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles runs from the days of Nebuchadnezzar right through till the coming of the Lord to the earth to reign. And the great doctrine in the Old Testament, of course, is the day of the Lord. And it starts in judgment. It's a day of wrath. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of gloom. And one only needs to read such passages as Joel chapter 2, Zephaniah chapter 1, Daniel chapter 12, Amos chapter 5, Matthew 24, and so on. And in Ezekiel 37, we read that the nation is to be resurrected from among her graves. If you take that 37th chapter of Ezekiel, an amazing chapter, the valley of dry bones and how they came together, but there was no life in them. And there's no question as to what it means, because he goes on and tells Ezekiel that this is the whole house of Israel. And today we see the nation gathered together in her land, but no spiritual life. And so we have in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Or as Isaiah 26:19-21, "With their dead bodies shall they rise." And we were quoting also Deuteronomy chapter 30 in the first 5 verses, where the first time in the whole Bible we have the prophecy of the coming of the Lord back to the earth. Now, having said that, let us go on with our study. The day of the Lord, as I say, starts in judgment. It's a day of gloom. It's a day when God is going to judge the people of Israel. It's a day of what Jeremiah calls it. It's a day of Jacob's trouble. Let me read 2 or 3 verses from the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. Starting at verse 3, "For I read, For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." This is very, very wonderful when you think of it. This is the first time in centuries that they've returned to their land, and where they recognize Palestine as being their land. In fact, if you were to ask them what they are, they would call themselves Israelis. But now listen to what the Lord says. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." Now, this is their condition today. There's no peace. There's trembling. There's fear. "Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Then he goes on to say that the Lord's going to break the yokes and the bands that bind them, and they will serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you. But I will correct you in measure, and will not leave you altogether unpunished." I've taken the time to read that because, to me, it's an amazing thing that the time ahead for the nation Israel is to be a time of trouble. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. Now, I raised the question a while ago, does that mean that every Jew will be saved? No, no. Allow me to continue on this thought. Israel is back in her land today. It's true all Jews are not back. But we have a nation in a land of over 2 million Jews. They have their own government. They have their own army and so on. And after the Church of Christ has been taken away from this scene and the day of the Lord starts, we find it's a day of trouble for Israel. But I'm reminded of the fact that they make a covenant with Antichrist. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, you remember that amazing chapter where he talks about the with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people, yet they will not hear. Why? "Hear therefore the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is Israel," which is Jerusalem, "because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and unto falsehood have we hid ourselves." And let me add to that the book, the prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, where when Antichrist comes, he's going to make a covenant with the people of Israel for a week. And in the middle of the week, he's going to break that covenant. Now, come back to Isaiah 28. Now, remember, they have made a league, a covenant with death, and withheld their agreement. They've made lies their refuge, and of falsehood they've hid themselves. Now, in verse 18 of the same chapter, this is what God says, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you shall be trodden down by it." In other words, what the prophet is saying is this. Israel is going back to the land in unbelief. And because of the enemies surrounding them, because of the world that will be anti-Semitic, hated of all nations, they will make a covenant with the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 9 or Isaiah 28. And then in the middle of that covenant, or the middle of the week, using Daniel 9 for this statement, in the middle of the week, he breaks the covenant with Israel. Then their eyes are open to who he is and what he is. And this is where you have the purging of Israel. Terrible picture. But what does God use this for? God has said he's gonna punish them, and yet he would not make an end of them. What's he going to do? He's going to purge out of Israel every rebel, that is, every unbelieving Jew. Now, remember I said from Romans chapter 11, verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And the question was asked, and has been asked, does that mean every Jew is going to be saved? No. In this time of Jacob's trouble, in the time of the Great Tribulation, it's a time of God judging his people Israel. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the nation Israel, which has gone back into her land. And I read in Ezekiel chapter 20, he said, "I will purge out of you her rebels, and they shall not possess the land." In the book of Zechariah chapter 13, in verses 8 and 9, I read, "He will cut two-thirds of them off and will bring the one-third through the fire." Now, just think of it, what God is going to do. He's going to cut off two-thirds and bring one-third through the fire. You know, in the last war, we had a real sample of this, when approximately between 6 and 7 million Jews were liquidated in the last war. If I may quote from some of the writers of that day when they said that possibly two-thirds of the Jewry of Europe were liquidated. Amazing thing. Let me read from Amos chapter 9, 10 to 11. "Lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." And in that day, when God purges out the rebels and the sinners out of Israel, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David which has fallen. I will raise up his ruins. I will build it as in the days of old. So on. And here you have a wonderful picture of the coming of the Lord in his defense of Israel. Now, I've mentioned this because there are those who believe that God is through with Israel. No, God is not through with Israel. Believe me, my friend, there's a terrible time in store for Israel. Once the Church of Christ is taken to be with our Savior, and God again begins to deal with Israel, he must deal, first of all, in judgment. He must pronounce judgment upon the unbelieving Jew. He's going to purge out of the nation all her rebels. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But he will not do this until he's through gathering out a people for his name. Again, may I suggest, as I inject this again into your thinking, God today is not dealing even with Israel or with the nations. The nations are going their own way. They're going into the ditch. God today is dealing with individuals It makes difference who they are, Jew or Gentile, whoever they are. God is dealing with individuals. No matter how sinful, how corrupt, whatever their condition, God today is dealing in grace and is offering salvation to any Jew, to any Gentile, who will put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once the Church of Christ is taken away, then God begins to deal with the nations. And Israel is going to come under the chastening hand of God. That's why I've taken the time to read these scriptures. God is going to purge out of them her rebels. He's going to cleanse Israel. And everyone who is, as he said here in Amos, the sinners of Israel will be taken away. And God's going to have a people. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 4, the fourth verse. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, that the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Zion, place of assemblies, and so on. And he goes on to speak of the blessing. God is going to purge Israel of her sin, and he's going to take away her sins, and he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. You remember in Romans, allow me to come back to Romans chapter 11, 26 down through 28, that marvelous passage, in that day I will take away their sins. When he purges out of Israel her rebels, and the godly remnant are going to be cleansed, as Zechariah 13:1 says, there's going to be a fountain open for Jerusalem and Judah. He's going to wash away their sins, and he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. If you want to put this down, three times in the book of Jeremiah speaks of this. In Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. Jeremiah 33, verse 8. And Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20. Allow me to repeat them. In Jeremiah 31, in Jeremiah 33, in Jeremiah 50, he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the old covenant, which was made on tables of stone, but I will take away their heart, their hard hearts. I will give them a heart of flesh, and I will write on their hearts my word, my new covenant. No man shall say to another, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the oldest to the youngest. If you want to follow that through, I would suggest the latter part, the last half of the eighth chapter of the book of Hebrews, where he speaks of the fact that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. And no man shall say to another, know the Lord, for all shall know me. You see what a wonderful time's in store for Israel. And may I suggest, only God could do this. Only God can do this. Only God can save sinners. Even today, only God can save you and me. What will he do for Israel? What about them? He's going to purge out of them her rebels, the unbelieving Jew. He's going to take the godly remnant. He's going to cleanse them. Even though they're weak and frail, they've got a heart for God. They're looking for him. They're waiting for him. They're looking for the coming of their Messiah. Even today, there's a remnant in Israel looking for the coming of the Messiah. But the great bulk of Israel is going to come under the judgment of God. It's a sad thing when you think of it. That two-thirds are going to be cut off. And he'll bring the one-third through the fire. Think of God's people making a covenant with hell. Think of God's people, Israel, after all these years, making a league with Antichrist. And God's going to break that covenant, purge out the rebels, and he's going to refine the remnant, and he's going to restore them back to their land. He's going to put his word in their heart, in their mind. And all of them shall know the Lord, cleansed and purged from their sins. And their sins and their iniquities, says God, I will remember no more forever. You see what's in store for Israel. May I add to you, Christians, we ought to pray even today. We ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And God will bless all who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I may not agree with what they're doing. That's neither here nor there. But they're still God's people. And you and I ought to pray that in this day of grace, many of them shall come to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as their Messiah, but as their Savior and as their Lord. And by the way, there's not much time left for you, my unsaved friend. If you've never accepted the Savior, when I see these things going on today in the world, and how God is dealing with Israel and will be dealing with Israel, how much more time is God going to give us to encourage people to accept the Savior? Christian friend, redeem the time. Unsaved man or woman, receive the Lord Jesus Christ while it is yet called today, tomorrow, may be too late.